Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning, everybody. This is Danny Nesvetarani, your community journalist for CJSF, as well as host of the Tuesday Speak Up. Thank you all so much for tuning in this lovely, sunny, warm Tuesday morning. And today, we have a good mix of talk content, as well as a little bit of music on the way. You know, one thing I feel like I've noticed about the summer is that it feels like, in terms of news and getting coverage of things, it's a little slower. But at the same time, there are still things going on all the time, and still things worth reporting on, and still things that need to be spoke up about and shared to all of you. So stay tuned for all of that this hour. I want to acknowledge that this show is being broadcasted on the unceded and ancestral territories of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples who have been here since time immemorial, sharing, creating, and existing before a time before any of us can remember. So I just want to acknowledge that. And to start off today's episode, I'm going to be playing a song from someone who's been topping the charts lately here at CJSF, and I thought I would keep that going because, you know, when someone tops the charts here at CJSF, it is for good reason. So coming up next, we have a track from Jan off of her album Wish I Could've. This track is called Help Myself.
Helping them help.
helping myself, cause if I don't like me, why would anyone else? I wake up in the morning to meditate. I say every affirmation written on my page, yeah. Keep on helping, I'm helping myself, cause if I don't love me, of myself. Keep on helping, I'm helping myself, cause if I don't like me, why would anyone else? I wake up in the morning to meditate. I say every affirmation written on my page, yeah. Keep on helping, I'm helping myself, cause if I don't love me, why would anyone else? I look into the mirror and say,
and we are back with Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Thank you so much for tuning in. That was Jan with the track Help Myself. Hope you all enjoyed. And the next thing on the menu for this hour of Speak Up is an interview I did with the head of transportation for the city of New Westminster on a recent decent sum of money that they received from TransLink for active transportation projects within the city, about $3.96 million, I believe. And, you know, anytime a city receives a amount of money such as that for a very specific thing, I always kind of, at least me personally, I'm always curious as to what that is actually going to go towards. So I thought I reached out. I thought I would reach out. And thankfully, you know, due to the career I've chosen, it was actually quite relevant to what I do. So I was able to speak with the head of the transportation department for the city of New Westminster and sort of pick his brain on what specific projects this $3 million would go towards. And, you know, I learned quite a bit. He definitely went into detail on that. But I also got to ask him how cities, specifically New Westminster in this case, sort of reconciles the need for active transportation improvements when it comes to walkability and cycling and buses, while also contending with the fact that over 50% of people are still relying mostly on single personal vehicles. And his response was really interesting. So here is that interview for all of you. This is Danny Nezverani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. On July 17th, the city of New Westminster received $3.96 million in funding from Metro Vancouver's transportation agency, TransLink, to fund transportation improvement projects throughout the city. According to the city's communications team, the improvements that this funding will go towards are aligned with New Westminster's master transportation plan, as well as several of the city's goals regarding climate action. This includes increasing the number of trips taken through sustainable modes of transportation and reallocating road space to sustainable transportation and public spaces. To learn more about the specifics of what this transportation funding will be going towards, CJSF reached out to Mike Anderson, the manager of transportation for New Westminster. During our conversation, Anderson listed the various streams of funding that will be contributing to the city's transportation infrastructure, starting with buses.
It's a combination, really. So as I mentioned before, TransLink has different streams of funding. So there is a program for bus speed and reliability infrastructure. So any improvements we make that can help buses get through the city more reliably and in some cases faster. So we've completed a study a few years ago about transit in the city and where buses in particular get caught up in congestion. And so we look at ways that we can reduce delay for transit.
Anderson then went on to detail another area that this funding will be going towards: research on how to alleviate bus delays in certain busier areas of New Westminster.
We're also working on studies at both ends of the Queensborough Bridge. And although the Queensborough Bridge is provincial infrastructure and jurisdiction, we are working with TransLink and the Ministry of Transportation to see what we can do to improve bus movements on and off the bridges, because especially getting on the bridge, buses experience a lot of delays. So the TransLink funding is helping that. So fund those studies.
Next, he touched on funding towards walking and cycling infrastructure.
Another stream of funding is for walking infrastructure, especially where we can improve walking infrastructure to transit. And so TransLink funds projects that improve walking infrastructure that connects in particular to the more frequent transit network. And then the other stream of funding is for cycling projects. And so we have an active transportation network plan to build out 26 cycling routes across the city quite ambitiously in the next 5 years. And so TransLink funds cycling network improvements as well. So
by the end of our conversation, it became clear that this funding would be going towards improvements for public transit, cycling infrastructure, and overall walkability in New Westminster. We asked Anderson if there were any concerns from those that rely on personal vehicles that still needed to be considered in the city's transportation plan. This was his response.
That's a good question. New Westminster's transportation policy definitely prioritizes walking, cycling, and transit. It's clearly outlined in our transportation plan as our priority modes of transportation. Recognizing that still about somewhat over 50% of people in New Westminster use a car to get around. So we tend not to do things that, a lot of things that reduce capacity for cars. We are focused on making improvements for those people on foot and bike, particularly safety improvements, as you noted. We can't build our way out of traffic congestion, unfortunately. Nobody's been able to do that. And so while we can make things somewhat more efficient, the reality is that, we can't accommodate more cars on our roads than are really already there today without significant impacts and significant costs. The cost to, for example, widen a road is extremely high and beyond the capacity of a lot of municipalities to afford anymore. So we really do have to focus our investments in transit and walking and cycling. So we're not trying to make it, not necessarily trying to make it more difficult to get around by car. We're doing, making changes to make it easier to get around on foot, bike, and transit. We absolutely know that some people continue to get around by car and will always do that. That's their choice. But at this point, we're sort of beyond the point where we can afford to try to build our way out of congestion. It's just not feasible.
Once again, that was our interview with Mike Anderson, the manager of transportation for the city of New Westminster, where he discussed where the city's recently received $3.96 million from TransLink would be going towards in order to improve transportation infrastructure within New Westminster. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. This segment would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca. All right. We are back. This is Danny Nesvedarani once again, but live, hosting Speak Up for all of you. And again, that was my interview piece with Mike Anderson, the manager of transportation for the City of New Westminster, discussing a sum of money they receive from TransLink and what that money would be going towards in terms of transportation. Hope you learned a little bit. If you are from New Westminster, would love to hear your thoughts on these improvements and what they mean to you. And if you have just any opinions or anything you want to talk about in terms of the pieces or even songs that we play this hour, you can text us at 778-782-2573. That is 778-782-2573. Now we're going to be moving away from BC in this next segment. This is a piece from Winnipeg, from U-Radio, and it was produced by Ryan Funk, who is a super talented journalist from that area. And this is a piece that I wanted to play because I think it is something that is not just Winnipeg specific, but is, you know, quite Canada-wide and just globally pretty relevant, I would say. And in the title of the piece is "Poor Air Quality Sparks Health Discussions at Downtown Wellness Event." And it's sort of a piece that delves into the complications of health and wellness when in the midst of dealing with wildfire smoke. It's pretty widely known and widely accepted that wildfire smoke and smoke of any sort is just not amazing for humans and human lungs. And yet, people still need ways to exercise, to breathe comfortably, and to promote wellness in a way that is safe and accessible for all. And that becomes a lot more difficult when you take into account the fact that wildfire and the smoke that it produces, and the smoke that they produce are just becoming more and more common every summer, it seems. So here is that piece from Ryan Funk right here.
This community update was brought to you by U-Radio. Despite the faint haze of wildfire smoke in downtown Winnipeg, dozens gathered Saturday morning for group yoga. However, for the third annual Health and Wellness Day, hosted by the Peg City Steppers, the occasion wasn't a sure thing. Shauna Goodridge, a founding member, said they had to scramble to find indoor solutions due to the possibility that poor air quality could put people at risk.
This year, I think it really brought it home for us, because the past 2 years, we were fortunate with lovely weather. So we did not think about plan B, what to do in case of. But this year, when we saw the smoke and, you know, all of the things, we're like, we need to come up with a risk management plan so that we can think about smoke, rain, like the different things that could happen and how we would treat for it. So we have started to plan that out.
Despite potentially losing some of the ambiance of being outdoors in downtown, Goodridge said they now have an indoor plan and will be proactive instead of reactive in the future. The Health and Wellness Day has two objectives: to bring vibrancy back into the city's downtown area and to build a community for people to participate in physical activity and engage in discussions on wellness.
This year, we have incorporated something new as a part of our Health and Wellness Day. We have added what we call mini wellness talks.
One of those discussions was smoke and respiratory conditions. Goodridge, being asthmatic herself, says she can relate to the challenges and risks going outside this summer has brought.
You know, it's really tough, like coming out of the cold winter months when you have to bundle up and be more indoors. So you're looking forward to be outdoors in the summer months, and then to confront with the smoke, it can be challenging.
Peg City Steppers hold weekly runs throughout the year. For Shannon Walcott, it was a fantastic community to build relationships, and as a newcomer, the perfect place to get to know Winnipeg. However, she says she has been forced inside this year by the smoke, away from an activity and community she has become so fond of.
I have an ongoing congestion problem. Like, my allergies are absolutely terrible, and I've been working on it for probably 6 months, 7 months now. So I've gone to an ENT and stuff. So it was getting better. But I realized, like, since June and July, I'm back to my congested state again. So I am outside a lot less, really and truly. It's kind of sad because I really wanted to be outside more this summer. I was like, yay, summer, we need to get outside.
For Goodridge, Walcott, and many others with respiratory conditions, air quality can become another barrier to getting physically active. Not only can it make outdoor activity more difficult, as explained by nurses Andrea Herbert-Lugston and Joyce Plante, but it can also put the rest of your health at risk.
If you do have these issues, it will affect the expansion of your lungs. Like, your lungs can be very tight and it's not be able to filter or to absorb this fresh air if it's all contaminated with the smoke. So your lungs will be struggling, having some challenge in expanding and then taking in that air. So then that will eventually affect their ability to move around or daily activities that they're supposed to be doing.
Herbert Lungston added,
if you have to go out, just be cautious before you go out. Check the weather, check the air quality. Ask yourself, what are you going out for? Are you going to do something strenuous? Can it be done another day? Do you have to just go get groceries? So you have to decide whether it's okay for you to go out or not.
Both Plante and Herbert Lungston recommended that if you're going outside, wearing a mask can go a long way. Although it can be frustrating being stuck indoors on the worst of days, there's still plenty of options to stay active. Goodridge and Walcott both keep a careful eye on forecasts and air quality. And on those poor days, use a treadmill instead of walking outside.
On the days when I cannot go outside, my apartment has a little workout room. I'll probably go on the treadmill and walk for 30 minutes. Not the same, but I still try to get my movement in, my steps in. So I have been using that to substitute for my lack of outsideness.
As for the Health and Wellness Day, Goodridge is excited about what the Peg City Steppers community has built, starting with a small group of friends who have kept each other motivated and accountable and has evolved into a downtown community event.
It's mind-blowing because when we started, we didn't envision this. We just saw it as us staying active. You know, it's cold, we don't want to be indoors, but now it's more of a community, a movement, and we want to continuously give back to our community by offering different opportunities like this.
Goodridge extended an open invitation to anyone looking to start their wellness journey to meet the Peg City Steppers every Saturday at 7:30 a.m. at the Forks Market. With You Multicultural and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ryan Funk.
Thank you to Ryan Funk for that piece coming out of Winnipeg from U Radio. Yeah, really just showing not just, you know, the issues that come from wildfire smoke and contending with that while also wanting to be physically active, but people's resilience in the face of that as well. So really great piece. And I thought I would take another break for music, but this one is from the Winnipeg Jazz Orchestra. It's called The Great Return. Hope you enjoy.
Thank you.
once again, that was The Great Return by the Winnipeg Jazz Orchestra. You know, I love jazz songs that sound like they're about to finish, but then that happens like three other times. And I don't mean that in any sort of bad way. I genuinely do love that. So that was a very lovely track. And the next thing we have for this hour is actually an interview that I did just yesterday. And the full piece for it is not completed. But to give some context, North Van Arts, which is an art organization in North Vancouver, recently came out with this thing called the North Shore Culture Quest.